Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're going to begin looking at the subject of the kingdom of God. Today, the title of my message is A Better Country. Someone say, A Better Country. A better, prefer a better country? A better country. Praise God. And our text is going to be taken from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. The disciples came to meet Jesus and they asked him. They saw him praying actually, and they came to meet him and said, Master, teach us to pray. And then he told them, he said, so pray like this. Pray like this. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So really, heaven does not need change. Everybody say that after me. Say, heaven does not need change. Heaven is already operating according to the will of God. Heaven is already operating according to the will of God. But the same God who created heaven and who lives in heaven created the earth for a purpose. Since you know that God is a God of purpose, God does nothing without purpose. So he created the earth for a purpose. And as we're going to see as we go through this message, that purpose was delayed. That purpose was interrupted. But God is a God of eternal purpose. Whatever he has purposed will always come to pass, no matter the interruption. So the Lord Jesus Christ was giving us a glimpse into the heart of God here when he taught this prayer, that the foremost desire of God is that eternal purpose, which he purposed from the beginning of the earth that he created, being filled with himself, being filled with heaven, experiencing the same thing that heaven experiences, bringing about the same atmosphere that is in heaven, the same rule, the same order, the same values, and the same power, and realities, and experiences that exist in heaven. Hallelujah. So God's intention from the beginning has been heaven towards earth. I don't know why somehow along the line it got changed, and believers are very focused on escaping earth to go to heaven. It's like contrary total to God's intention. God's intention has been, you know what, I want to bring heaven to earth. But believers' intention is now, I want to make heaven. And there's a whole religion, you know, all around that on, you know, wanting to make heaven. But I believe that as we begin to look into the word of God, we'll see a balance, we'll understand what, you know, this is all about. But let me first tell you that everyone in this place is seeking a better place. Everyone is seeking a better world. We all know that it exists, because if it does not exist, you will not seek. Let me tell you this story. This is a true story. Very true story. It was told by Dr. William Branham in one of his books. So there was this boy that the doctors discovered that the boy was constantly eating rubber. Like rubber. Like anytime the boy sees rubber, it will start to eat it. So they took the doctor, they took the child to the doctor. There was going on. And then they discovered that by the time they did some tests on the boy, they discovered that the boy had some deficiency, you know, in himself. Of what's rubber made of? Is this sulfur? What's it made up again? You know, the rubber. That element that rubber is made up of. Is this, those of you chemists, and is this sulfur? What is it called? Or something? Is it? I've forgotten what it's made up of. Please help me find it. So they discovered that the doctor had a deficiency. Sorry, the child had a deficiency in that particular thing. How did the boy know that thing was in sulfur? Sorry, it was in rubber. That he keeps on eating the rubber. It's because whenever you have a deficiency of something, there's something inside of you that seeks for it. And when it finds it, when it can't find it, you keep seeking. And when you find it, you want to have more of it. Amen. So the whole world is living in a deficiency. The entire world is living in what? In a deficiency. The reason for all our political systems, from democracy to communism to socialism, all the isms. The reason for many of the debates that we have on social media, that we have in the news media, the reason for a lot of divisions and a lot of fight, a lot of uprisings around the world is because the whole world sees a deficiency and we want to fill that deficiency. It's also the reason for all the types of religions that exist in the world. There's a quest, there's a search that is in the heart of man to return back to what we originally lost. So you don't even have to be a Christian. Everybody is seeking for the kingdom or seeking for heaven on earth. Everybody is seeking for, we call it different names, you know. There was this book that was written in, I think it was 1547 or so, called Utopia. You know, it was a book that was written that described a world, you know, a particular world that everything was just okay, everything was just nice. So right now, you know, they call it utopia. Every religion has a place that you get to and everything is all well. There's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no evil, there's all love. Marriages are working. People are nice to one another. Children are taken care of. There is good health. People walk in abundance. People live in love and all that. That thing is in every philosophy and every religion of man. It's a quest. It's a desire. It's something we're seeking for. And people fight for it. People go to war for it, ironically. Amen? People fight for it. Political system, political wars, all kinds of things. People are searching for it. But if you look at the state of the world currently, you will discover that we are falling short of it. Amen? You know, I did something on Wednesday when I introduced the theme, and I think maybe I should just do it again. Escort will be probably the first person to find it. The website that I showed everybody on Wednesday, if you can find it for me, the world info thing. So I showed everyone the state of the world now. With everything that we have done, and everything that, you know, all the technological advancement, the state that the world is in, still shows that there is a deficiency. Amen? There's a huge deficiency. We are more divided than ever. Just think about the United States. We've been talking about unity. We've been talking about racial reconciliation. We've been talking about, you know, all that. But we are more divided than we have ever been in this nation. Just look at the state of the world. World poverty, everything. It's like we have not made a dent in poverty in the world. There's still oppression, there's still evil all around. Now, we have become very technologically advanced when it comes to health and, you know, medicine and all that. But look at the diseases that are breaking forth all over the place that we still can't get under control. Amen? So the more developed we are, the more problems we also create. Amen? So it's like we have failed woefully. There must be. Oh, thank you. So the current world population is over 7 billion. Just over 7 billion people. And is increasing every second. Every second somebody has been born. So just this year alone, over 24 million people have been born. Today alone, 177,000 people have been born. This year, over 10 million people have died. Today alone, over 73,000 people have died. The population growth of the world this year is 14 million, and it's increasing. Today alone, over 4,000 people have been added to the world. And they have been added as we sit. Now email sent, all that. Let's go. Forest loss. Let me see. Let's see. Forest loss this year. 166,000 hectares this year alone. Land lost to erosion this year, also in hectares. CO2 emissions just keep going on in tons. Desertification, toxic chemical release in the environment this year. Undernourished people in the world, 747 million people. Overweight people in the world, 1 billion. I hope you are not one of them. Over 1 billion, approaching 2 billion. Obese people in the world, 673 million. Some entrepreneurs here, they are seeing ideas of how they can make money. People who died of hunger today, 14,172. Money spent on obesity-related disease in the USA today. Money spent on weight loss programs in the USA today. What I consumed this year. Death caused by water-related disease this year, 146. People with access to no safe drinking water source, 618 million. Go to the death, how people are dying. Let's see the kind of things killing people. Hallelujah. Communicable diseases this year, death this year, 2 million. Death of children under 5 this year, over 1 million. So anytime you see your child running around and all that, you should praise God for it. You need to dance. Abortions this year, 7 million. Death of mothers during birth this year, 53,000. HIV-AIDS infected people, 38 million. Death caused by HIV-AIDS this year, 292. Death caused by cancer this year, 1 million. Death caused by malaria, 170,000. Cigarette smoke today. Those guys are making some money. 7 billion are decreasing. Death caused by smoking this year, 869. Death caused by alcohol this year, suicide, 186. Money spent on illegal drugs this year, 69 billion. Road traffic accident fatalities this year, 234. Now, I'm sure, you know, those are, because there are some places where you can't even get these statistics, like in Africa and all that. Those are, you know, conservative estimates. Amen. Praise God. But, you know, what I just, you know, wanted to show that, to let you guys know the state of the world, that in everything that we've been doing has failed. There's a better way. Somebody say there's a better way. And that's what I want to start teaching about today. Yeah. That should be a new approach. That country of peace, justice, righteousness, and all that, that we all seek is possible. It is possible. And Jesus Christ talked about it. Amen. But let's first of all look at how we came to where we are. So point number one, kingdom lost on earth. Kingdom lost on earth. How did this happen? Genesis chapter 1 tells us, in fact, Genesis 1 and 2 are the two best chapters of the Bible. Because in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there was no evil. There was nothing. I mean, everything was just hunky-dory, beautiful. You know, all the elements of maximized living, of a maximized human, were present. There was a relationship with God that was constant. They said God will come to fellowship with man in the cool of the day. There was, there was spiritual nourishment. There was mental, mental excellence. The Bible says that Adam named all the animals. Now, some of these things are symbolic, some, you know, literal, symbolic, so, you know, you need to be able to parse it. Now, they said Adam named all the animals that God brought to him, all the animals, and he named them. And whatever name he called them was the name that God wanted them to be. So the man had strong mental capacity. So there was mental excellence. Apart from that, still in Genesis chapter 2, there was a strong sense of purpose, an assignment. This man wasn't a jobless man. This was a man who was at something. The Bible says God gave him the garden and said, till and guard this garden. So he had an assignment. to take care of a particular garden that was in Eden. We call it the Garden of Eden, but it's actually the garden in Eden. Eden was bigger than the garden. The garden was a part of it, and that garden had a spiritual connotation and also a physical manifestation. This man was supposed to work on this and to guard it and then, you know, and take it and extend it. He had that assignment. The man had a kingdom. This was a person that was ruling. He had control. He was not being controlled by anything. And God looked at it and said, after he did all that, he said, there's only one thing that was missing. I'm going to create a family. He said, I will make a helper for him. And the man saw his wife and was excited. Now, the Bible never told us how long it was between Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. You understand? So it wasn't like a matter of days. So there was a period of time when Adam and Eve and, you know, and the animals and the old place, there was a period of time where everything was just awesome, great. There was a kingdom on the earth. That thing that the world is seeking for was in existence, in a microcosm of it. It was a colonization of heaven. God sent the man in the physical realm to bring about what he had in the spiritual realm, in that realm of heaven, in that realm that is invisible to us, to our physical eyes right now, to bring it into the realm of the visible world. And this man was doing it, and this man, was a great family. There was no sickness, there was no pain, there was a great relationship with God. Marriage was great. Amen. The woman was, enjoying her husband. The husband was enjoying the wife, and they were preparing for a family, and all that was going on. But it was lost. Amen. It was lost. Because God told them, he said, okay, now I'm giving you everything. Now, apart from that, the way the Bible described that place, he said there was abundance. Isn't that true? He said, I've given you everything. Just enjoy it. Eat, drink, whatever. All the animals. I give you dominion. I give you the blessing. I give you everything. So this man was the maximized life. The maximized man. The maximized woman. Everything was okay. But it was an instruction. And that instruction was this. You can enjoy everything. But there's this one thing that I do not want you to do. He said, in the day that you do it, you will die. So God was saying, he wasn't saying they were going to die physically. He was saying that the day that you do that, then you are going to begin to experience, you are going to lose this kingdom. You are going to begin to experience the exact opposite. And I don't want to go into all that because that's not my focus today. But you all know the story that happened. Amen? And that happened. And since that time, there was this terrible thing that happened. Please open to that Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, that's when the problems began. I was teaching Leading Light, it was the day before yesterday, about how the spheres of the world became corrupted as a result of the disobedience of this first man. There was a devolution of the earth. Hallelujah. There was a devolution of the earth. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 to 14. Genesis 23, God began to talk to man about the consequences of the fall. That, well, the kingdom was not lost in heaven. The kingdom was not lost as a kingdom, but it was, its expression on the earth was lost. Because the person that was supposed to bring the expression to the earth was lost. Genesis chapter 3 said, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So it was a stop measure, a stop gap by God, because God didn't want man to have to remain in that state forever. Because if he could have taken the tree of life before, God, the tree of life was there. Can you imagine? It was there. He could have taken it before and just lived forever, lived long in the kingdom. But he chose the other one. And so right now, if he took that one, man would have remained and the world would have remained in the state, the fallen state that it was. And then they began to conceive. Amen? And the same thing continued. Look at some of the things that fell apart. For example, when Adam sinned, God spoke to Adam and said, because, you have committed this sin, he started giving all of them, spoke to the serpent, spoke to the woman. He said, from now on, your desire shall be towards your husband. In other words, and it shall dominate over you. So, first of all, the fall came into the family realm. And listen, there's no way, I'm telling you the truth, there's no way, you understand, except you return to the kingdom system, there's no way you can have peace in the family. That's just it. Because it's part of the fall. It's part of the fall. It wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Do you get it? There's no way. Something will come in. So the family system fell. It fell. And then the next thing, God talked about pain in childbirth. That's symbolic of many things. You see all the things that we just read about children dying. Do you get it? Children dying, kids dying, and all that. It was all symbolic of things that will begin to happen. It wasn't God that made them happen. It was a consequence. Do you get that? It was a consequence that God worked, watching. So the family system fell. Then the economic system also fell. Because God told the man, the way you were designed to operate before, you're supposed to be working in purpose, right? The assignment that I gave to you, tilling the garden, and you were going to have all that you need. But from this moment onward, no, that's not going to happen any longer. You are going to be a survivalist. You are going to have to till with sweat. And as you till with sweat, the earth will begin to produce thorns for you. So the enterprise world, the business world became corrupted. It was supposed to be people living their dreams, living their purpose, going after the assignment God gave for them and provisions coming. But it changed to people going after provisions and forgetting their purpose. That was a consequence of the fall. So the economic system. Before you know it, the next thing they saw one man, they showed a man called Lamech. And his own testimony was that he had many wives. He had all of them lining up. So the corruption in the family system began to increase. The political system, everything, every area was touched. Before you knew it, Cain had killed Abel. Cain and Abel represent the constant struggle between those who desire to leave the kingdom and those who are not submitted to the kingdom. And that's in the world. So you see, all the wars began. Cain and Abel, all the killings and so on began. So all those things, we're talking about the different consequences. Before you know, men were being born, dying without reason, without purpose. And then that's how the chaos in the world began. To cut the long story short. So, but the question is, paradise was lost. The kingdom was lost on earth. But the kingdom still existed powerfully in the realm from which it began. Amen. God was still in his kingdom. And he was still the king. And he was still ruling. And God had his great intention was, I want to bring this thing back to the earth. It's going to come back anyhow. So you know what he did? God began to drop dreams of those kingdoms, of that kingdom, in the hearts of people. In the hearts of people. Some of them were called prophets. He began to make some moves, cutting covenants with human beings to give him authority to come so that he can actually bring about the restoration of that kingdom on the earth. He cut a covenant with Abraham, and he told Abraham, the reason why I'm cutting the covenant with you is not just because of you, it's that through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. All the nations of the earth will experience the kingdom again. All the nations of the earth will experience the beginning again. So that's why I'm cutting this covenant with you. And I'm telling you to do all these things because I want to do some things through you. He said, kings of people shall come out of your loins. Hallelujah. So God began to cut covenant. God began to drop it in the heart of people, and these people began to proclaim it. Let me show you some of the proclamations of some of these prophets. Let's look, go back to my text, and let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5 to 7. Look at some of this proclamation in the thousands of years ago of the restoration of this kingdom, of this better country. Isaiah chapter 9 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He was speaking to the future. He was seeing the future. And he said, the government shall be upon what? Right now, the government is upon man's shoulder and it's failing. The government is upon human shoulders and it's failing. But there's a king that is going to come, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government of and peace, there shall be what? No end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord God will perform this. So Isaiah was talking about there's a restoration of this kingdom on the earth. There's a restoration, and there's going to be somebody who is going to come to carry the weight of that kingdom. Amen. There's somebody who is coming. There's going to be a restoration of this kingdom on the earth, even though it's not there. Look at the next one. I love this one so much. I love it in the Message translation. Isaiah said, pay close attention now. God speaking. I am creating new heavens and a new earth. All the earlier troubles, chaos, and pain are things of the past to be forgotten. Look ahead with joy. Anticipate what I'm creating. I will create Jerusalem as sheer joy. I will create my people as pure delight. I'll take joy in Jerusalem. I'll take delight in my people. No more sounds of weeping in the city. Somebody say amen. No more sound of weeping in the city. No cries of anguish. No more babies dying in the cradles. A whole people who don't enjoy a full lifetime. 100 birthdays will be considered normal. Anything less will seem like a cheat. They will build houses and move in. They will plant fields and eat what they grow. Economic enterprise. No more building a house that outsiders take over. No more planting fields that some enemy confiscates. For my people will be as long-lived as trees. My chosen one will have satisfaction in their work. They won't work and have nothing come out of it. They won't have children snatched from under them. For they themselves are planted, blessed by God. With their children and grandchildren likewise, God bless. Before they call out, I will answer. Before they finish speaking, I have heard. Wolf and lamb will graze the same meadow. Lions and ox will eat straw from the same trough. But snakes, they will get a diet of dirt. Neither animals nor humans will hurt or kill anywhere on my holy mountain, says the Lord. So Isaiah was seeing this better country, this kingdom, this original intention of God for the earth that we had lost. And he was proclaiming it as if it was in the present, that this is going to happen. But it's going to come when a king comes to begin to carry the government on his shoulder. When the government is taken away from human shoulders and is placed on the shoulders of Jesus. Hebrews 11 tells us that all the Old Testament saints, all the Abraham, Isaac, and all these people that we read about, and even those who were not even recorded in the Bible, they were searching for these things. It says, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. They knew that there was something about them that was not from this world. They were to be colonizers of this earth. They came from another place. He said they longed for it. He said, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they have been thinking of the country they had left, the physical world, they will have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country. Everybody say a better country. A heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So what I'm trying to tell you is that God's intention from the beginning was to create a replica of heaven on the earth. Was to create a country. A kingdom, a city that models God's righteousness, God's peace, and a place of justice, a place of righteousness. He said in that kingdom, there's no black, there's no white, there's no, everybody, he said all nations bow before him together. Amen. All the things that we fight with right now that has been introduced, all the divisions are absent in that country. But somebody say, Pastor, are you not speaking of what is going to happen at the end of the world? Well, let's continue. Let me take a few more minutes and, you will get it better. Hallelujah. So enters Jesus. Everybody say enters Jesus. So number two, kingdom proclaimed on earth. The kingdom proclaimed on the earth. Enters Jesus. So you see the backdrop of when Jesus was born. And you can check the context. The Romans were oppressing the Jews. And then Jesus was born at that time. Caesar was king, and then he appointed different tetrarchs and all that all over the place. And Jesus was born at that time. There was a huge cry in the heart of people then. Because they knew all these prophecies of Isaiah and all that. When is this kingdom going to come? It was what happened when those kings came to announce that they saw a baby. Those wise men, they said, and Herod went to find out. When was the king supposed to be born and where? They said he was supposed to be born somewhere and said, kill, you know. Yeah, that was the devil in operation because he knew that the kingdom was about to return. Amen. The kingdom was about to return. He wanted to cut it short. That's what usually happens. You see, the kingdoms of this world will always try to stop the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is unstoppable. Come on, say it's unstoppable. Hallelujah. So, enters Jesus. And he began to proclaim some things about this kingdom. Number one, the first thing he tells us is that it is near. Everybody say it's near. First of all, there was a forerunner called John the Baptist. And I'm going to go through this one fast because it's just some very simple facts that I want you to get. They said, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, change your heart and life. Here comes the kingdom of heaven. Here comes this kingdom that was lost. It's time for you to begin to adjust and begin to change the way you think. I know you guys are so used. You're so used to the world you live in right now. You're so used to the government being upon human shoulders. You're so used to the world of pain, the world of sickness, the world of oppression, the world, you know, of division. And so you're so used to all this oppression. But it's time for you to change your thinking because a new boss is coming. A new kingdom is coming. It's coming back. It's always been there, but it's coming back to invade the earth and to colonize the earth again. And Jesus also began to preach Matthew 4:17, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Same thing. Jesus says, you guys, it's time for you to start thinking differently, to start seeing things differently, because something new is about to happen. This kingdom is coming back. This Eden that was lost is coming back to the earth. And then, not only was he proclaiming it, he began to what? Demonstrate it. B. This is great news accompanied by powerful proofs. So not only was Jesus proclaiming it, he also began to demonstrate it. I must say demonstrate it. You know, I could tell you, for example, right now, I come from Nigeria, right? That's where I was born. Proud of that. I'm a proud Nigerian guy. Amen. That's where my body was born. I'm from heaven. Amen. But he was born into a Nigerian body. Hallelujah. So listen. So I could tell you about it and say, wow, in Nigeria, it's a great kingdom. Especially Lagos. You have to be smart to live in Lagos or you'll be lost. I begin to tell you all the good things and, you know, and all that. And then, you all open your mouth and say, well, that's great. But sometimes you say, this guy, you know, he's talking about his country. He's partial. Maybe he's just exaggerating. Prove it. Amen? Prove it to us. Show it. So, that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus, look at that verse. The Bible says that, and Jesus went about all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news. Ever say good news of this country that was to come, this nation, this kingdom. And then he did not stop because he knew that some of them, when they heard it, they would not believe. But he also began to demonstrate the characteristics of that kingdom. He says, for example, come. So in our country, in this country that I'm talking about, people don't fall sick there. They don't fall sick. And when it comes, when it manifests itself in any country, if people are sick, they will be healed. Okay, all of you that are lame or whatever, come here. Phew. And everybody started to shout, yeah! Thank you. Everybody began to shout, wow! Wow! You mean there's a country like that? That people can walk in health? Yeah! Yeah, that's the good news I'm telling you. That's the good news I'm telling you. There's a country, there's a place. And in that kingdom, it does not matter whether it's a headache or a cancer. It's all kinds, let me say all kinds of diseases and all kinds of sickness among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torment, and those who were demon possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Now, just imagine what you just try and imagine what used to happen. So some people he spoke in a synagogue and said, his message is simply, listen, I'm here, I'm a representative of the kingdom, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because has anointed me to preach the good news, to report, to proclaim the healing to the brokenhearted and all that. I'm here to tell you, I'm a representative of the king. The kingdom of God is here, it's good news. All your problems, if you are poor, if you are sick and all that. And people say, they come, stretch forth your hands and all that. And then immediately those people left and went to tell their family members and say, there's a guy in town right now. John the Baptist used to talk and, did all that and baptized people, but there's a guy right now, this guy wants fire. This one was the one, the kingdom that John Baptist used to talk about, this one has brought it. Has brought it. You can actually see it. He's talking about one country and one place and one system, and he's teaching about it. And this guy actually has brought it. So everybody's running, let's go and see, because people are tired of this country. Tired of this world. There's no solution there. Hallelujah. So they will run to him, and he will teach them. After this one, people came, just after Matthew 4, people came. And then he looked at the multitude that came. And that's when we have the Sermon of the Mountain. The Sermon of the Mountain was simply Jesus Christ telling the people about this kingdom that he came to proclaim and that he came to show us a sign of. That this is how it works there. This is how you enter it. It has an immigration procedure. It has, this system. This is how you, and this is how, and he ended it by saying, guys, this is the answer. Everybody, please turn to Matthew 6:33 for me. He said, this is the answer. Okay, yeah, let's quickly run through it. Let's run through it. Yeah. Because this, all this is where what Jesus was telling them about it. Everybody says it's a treasured possession for humble and earnest seekers. So he began to teach them and tell them about this kingdom. That, listen, this kingdom is for everybody, but the only people that will experience it are those who get to a point where they say, this world system, this country that I live in has failed. I want something better. I don't have it. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. So if you still think that, the debt system or the system that we have right now, the political system of this world is your answer, amen, then you're not ready to start living in the kingdom. Did you get it? What he was saying is that they are poor in spirit. That we don't have it. Look at it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is what? So go. Keep moving. This is the ICB translation of the same verse. It said, the people who know they have great spiritual needs are happy. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. So those who begin to know that, you know what? I don't think I have an answer in this world system. There's another one. He said, those are the people who will enter and work in this new country, this better country, this system. He said, fear not, little flock. Oh, no, sorry. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. That these people, they heard about this kingdom, this country, and they said, I don't want to live in this country. He went to sell everything he had, and with joy, just to have that kingdom. Because he found out that this was the answer to all the problems that he had. It's a treasure possession. Jesus said, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So the kingdom is a gift, it's a possession that we can have. Jesus said, it's a place. Number D, it's a place with a king, with subjects, rules of entry, citizens, classes, constitution, agenda. We're going to look into more of that later. Or, the leading light program too. He gave us some insight. He said, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments are like the constitutions of the kingdom, and teaches men so there will be, there are teachers in the kingdom, shall be called least in the kingdom. So there are classes, there are different levels, amen, in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does and teaches them, it shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness, talking about the way we live, of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So he was telling them that it's a place, it's a social system, it's a place that has rules, that has all this stuff there. Amen. Hallelujah. Then he said, it's not of this world. It's not of this world. So don't mistake the kingdom of God for something that comes from this earth. It's something that came from heaven. Listen, Let me pay attention. I want to correct a very good a misconception that people have here about the kingdom of God. So, the kingdom is not of this world. So we're not supposed to be dependent on the things of this world. But the kingdom is from the other world. But there's a reason why it came into this world. Otherwise, it will stay there. God always wanted it to come into this earth. So the purpose why God even wanted to come into this world is so that some people can live it and superimpose it on this world. Do you get that? They can live it and colonize this world with it. That's its purpose on the earth. So it's supposed to come and influence the systems of this world. As people begin to live in that country until the day when it fully takes over everything. That's the eschatological one. But we're supposed to what? To colonize the world with it. We're supposed to show the world how it works. So Trump is not my savior. Amen. Neither is, you know, whoever, the Congress or Obama or any one of those people. Amen. I am a kingdom man. Somebody say, I'm a kingdom man. I come from a better country. And I'm here to show that better country. I'm here to live that better country and to inject that better country into the affairs of this world and colonize it and change it completely to be like the one that I'm talking about. Are you guys getting what I'm saying? All right. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants will fight. So please, sometimes you fight too much so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from this world. Everybody say, it's not a kingdom from this world. You will never have a perfect government. You understand? Any government that is upon human shoulder will never be perfect. Are you listening? Will never. It has to be on Jesus' shoulder. And we are here to demonstrate, to experience and live and demonstrate that government of our lives that is upon the shoulder of Jesus and that begins to affect our communities and our nations. Can I get an amen in this world, in this place? You are two guys are too quiet. Come on, give me a very good hallelujah. Kingdom regained on the earth. Kingdom regained on the earth. So Jesus came and through all his parables and all that, he was giving us a glimpse. But pay attention, the kingdom had not come. Jesus came to tell us it is near and to show us glimpses of it. But he said later, he said there are some people in this place, in a sense, there was a statement he made, he said, there are some people in this place that will see the kingdom of God come with power before they die. He was talking. Because the kingdom was only the kingdom will only be able to come and begin to influence that when the Holy Spirit comes and start to dwell inside human spirits. Amen. And when Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus carried the kingdom. Oh, I hope I'm trying to get a way to explain. Can I have two people quickly so to save time? Two people just come forward. So Jesus Christ was the king, the representative of the kingdom, right? The Lord. Amen. So he carried the kingdom. Now, there was another kingdom that was existing on the earth. Do you get it? Called the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God. In the beginning, this was the kingdom of God, the earth. That was the intention. But after man fell, the kingdom of darkness began to rule. Right? So the kingdom existed. Remember when Jesus Christ met the devil and he was being tempted by the devil. Remember what the devil said? He said the devil took him up to the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world, right? And he said, I will give it to whomever I choose. So there's a kingdoms of this world. Someone say kingdoms of this world. But there's a kingdom from heaven. But the intention of God is the kingdom of heaven is supposed to be the kingdom of earth. Do you get it? This was a stolen kingdom, right? But the person who stole it has authority. Because the person that was given originally gave him the key. Do you get it? Gave him the key. So he had authority. So Jesus Christ could not bring his kingdom fully to the earth unless he took the authority from the guy. Are you getting what I'm saying? He could not spread unless he took the authority from the guy. So all the things you read in the gospel was Jesus just showing us. He was talking in future terms. Listen, I'm showing it. It's all around. It's coming. It's near and all that. I'm showing you guys. I'm teaching you how you're going to live there. But I will build my church. Amen. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of, come on, face him. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of what? Of the kingdom of heaven. So that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The church is the one that is supposed to usher the kingdom to the world. And the church was not born until the day of Pentecost. Are you getting what I'm saying? You say what? To usher the kingdom. The assembly of Christ is people. We're the one that will usher the kingdom on the earth. by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, but first of all, you have to take the key. Do you get it? You have to take the key of the kingdoms of this world from this guy. Do you get it? And then hand it over to who? To the church. Thank you. Put your hands together. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You have to take the key. So he was talking about it. Many will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast of the kingdom of heaven. That's, you know, the future, far, far, far future at the end and all that. But how was it regained? Amen. Matthew 28, verse 18. Everybody, let's read together. One, two, go. This after Jesus Christ had died and resurrected. He spoke to them saying, all authority. Everybody say, all authority. So he took the key from the guy who stole, you understand, the kingdom on the earth. He took the key, the authority from him. And he said, the one in heaven and the one on earth has been given to me. Now you, church, go therefore and make students of all nations of this kingdom. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all these things I've been telling you about this kingdom. And I'll be with you even until the end of this age. Age. There's another age coming when the kingdom will be fully, fully expressed on the earth. But in this age right now, it's like the parable of the tares and the wheat. There will be what? The kingdom is working on the earth, but there will be what? The devil walking. But we are supposed to be going on. Do you get what I'm saying? Going on to cause that kingdom to express itself everywhere, because we are now representative and citizens of the kingdom. Somebody say amen if you got it so far. Jesus said in John 3:3, except a man be born from above, it is not possible to see what I'm pointing to. God's kingdom. He was pointing to that kingdom. But he says to be able to see it, you have to be born again. And he said to enter it, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. So he was pointing to it. So when you get born again, you now become a citizen of that kingdom that Jesus was pointing to when he was on the earth. And now, as a citizen, you can now spread it all around. Somebody say amen. Amen. Finally, kingdom sought and spread on the earth. Kingdom sought and spread on the earth. Please come and play this stuff to help me round off nicely. Kingdom sought and spread on the earth. So while Jesus was on the earth, he taught us, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're going to dig into this next week real deep. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So he's saying that the kingdom is the solution, is the answer. And he said, Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time, I think it's Luke 11:16 or something like that. The law and the prophets were until John, and since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. And everyone presses into it. Everyone presses into it. And then in Matthew 24:7, he said, nations will rise against nations, talking about the end times. Kingdom will rise against kingdoms. There'll be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes, and all those things we saw in the world report. These are the beginning of sorrows. But it says, and the gospel of the kingdom. Let's say the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all nations as a witness, and then shall the end come. So let me tell you what he was saying, and just summarize it. God's intention for this world was better. It was supposed to be like Isaiah described it. It was lost in the sense that it could not, man fell short of the glory of God, and it could not be expressed on the earth. But God was never deterred. He prophesied it and proclaimed it. And then Jesus Christ came and began to proclaim of his coming. But while he was on the earth, he said, I'm going to raise up a people that is going to be called my church. And when I raise up my church, I'm going to give them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to give them the keys of this new country. First of all, I'll put my kingdom inside of them. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, who has rescued us, and he has translated us into what? The kingdom of his dear son. He translated into the kingdom. When you get born again, you become a part of the kingdom. You become a citizen of the kingdom. You are there. Amen. And then the kingdom is in you. Now, you have the right. Everybody say the right. to now begin to experience that heavenly country on the earth. So there are three major things that happens that you get when you become born again, or when you become a citizen of the kingdom. The first one is you get rights and privileges. The other thing, you get rights and privileges. Because when you're a citizen of any country, you understand, you have some rights. If you're a citizen of the United States, you can vote, right? You can do something, so you get some rights. You get some privileges. A good privilege of being a citizen of the United States is that you can travel to several nations without a visa. Amen? Right? That's a privilege. But the third thing that you get responsibilities. Everybody say responsibilities. Somebody say rights, privileges, and responsibilities. So you get responsibilities as a citizen of any country. So when you became born again and came into the kingdom of God, He gave you some rights. He gave you the right to be called a son. He gave you authority. He gave you some things we're going to be delving into. He gave you some privileges. Amen. Some things that you enjoy. The Holy Spirit, you know, being with Him, prayer, being able to change things. But He also gave us responsibility. Ever say responsibilities? And the responsibility is that we are supposed to be colonizers. Someone say colonizers. You get that? Yeah, colonizers. Colonizers. I must say colonizers. Not colonizers. Colonizers. Someone say colonizers. We're supposed to colonize the city. Colonize the world. We are kingdom citizens. We live in there. We're learning His constitution and learning to express His power in our lives. Living in His privileges. But then we also have a responsibility to begin to change this world to look more like that by proclaiming it and by sharing it with other people. And as everybody begins to do that, the church at its best. Amen. The church at its best is when the church realizes the reason why it exists in the first place. The church at its best is when it realizes that it is the body of Christ who has been given the keys of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus Christ proclaimed and bought. So as the body of Christ, they are enjoying the same privilege as a joint heir with Christ, with the Father. And then they are doing the works of Jesus in the world. That's the church at its best. So I want you, as we begin, this is an introduction, as we leave this place today, these are two things I want you to live with. I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. My body may have come from Chicago, may have come from Detroit, or from Ijebuode. But it's somebody else inside of me, my spirit, like we learned last week, whose citizenship is of heaven. And I'm not even talking about the whole man, I'm talking about the one that received Christ when he got born again. Christ was born in you. So you are a citizen of heaven. You are here to enjoy and experience the privilege of being an heavenly citizen. But you are also here as an ambassador, as a representative, as a colonizer for your kingdom. Those are the two things. And the more we learn about that, and the more we start to live that amongst ourselves, in our communities, in our places of work, that's how we bring this better country down. That's how the kingdom comes. And the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. So rise up on your feet, and I want you to pray a prayer.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.